Because of the weather, I'm going to forego the message I was going to preach tonight, preach something else to you, but I think this will help us all. I feel like our whole church needed to hear what I had previously planned, but guess what? You're going to get this one, and I have more than one all ready to go at any moment, so have no fear, it is prepared. John chapter 13, we're going to start reading in verse 33, we'll read down through the end of the chapter. You just follow along silently and let me read here. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By the way, notice it says that you have love, not that you feel love, not that you are loved. It says that you have love. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now, that's a pretty tough little statement right there. Jesus is just about to face Calvary. They are just about to enter the last hours of Jesus' life. And he's talking to his disciples and he's telling them, look, I'm about to leave you. I'm about to be crucified. I'm about to go and you're not going to be able to go with me. We've spent the last 3.5 years together, but where I'm going, you're not going there. You'll get there eventually, but you're not taking the trip I'm taking. And the disciples said, well, why can't we go with you? He said, don't worry, you'll get there eventually, but you're not going with me right now. And Peter says, Jesus, I'd lay down my life for you. Why can't we go? And he said, you're not only not going to lay your life down for me. He said, before morning, the cock will crow and you will have denied me 3 times. Whew. Now, I don't know about you. That statement rattles my attention. Peter, I believe, was sincere. I believe Peter wanted to go be where Jesus was. I believe he was willing to do whatever it took to help him. Now, listen to this. Why is it then, in just a matter of hours, did Peter deny Jesus 3 times? Why is it that not only did he deny him, but he started cursing and swearing and denying, saying, look, I don't even know who that person is? There's a word I'll use here. Peter actually became disloyal. Now, that's a strong term, but if you really think about it, he denied knowing Jesus, denied being with Jesus, denied what Jesus preached, and then he started cursing and swearing to fit in with the world. He became very disloyal to the things of God. Now, I don't believe for a minute Peter ever intended to end up that way. I don't think Peter, I think, you know, you talk in a matter of hours, he went from, Lord, I'll lay my life down for you, to, you dirty bric-a-brac pack slaughter rip. I don't know who he is. You blankety 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 blank, I don't know who you are. Now, how do you go from, Lord, I'm going to give my life for you, to cussing and swearing and denying who you are? You know, will the real Peter stand up? You say, what are we going to talk about? I have a question for you. Will you lay your life down or will you live for? It's either lay down or live for. Now, what does it mean, number one, to lay down your life? I think if you'll listen to me, I could help you tonight. Most people, when they use that term, I would lay my life down for you, mean they would die for you. I'm not sure that's exactly what that verse is teaching. And don't take this the wrong way, but a dead person is not real valuable. You know, George Patton in World War II used to tell his soldiers, fellas, don't you lay down your life for your country. You shoot somebody else and make them lay down their life for their country. He said, you're a better soldier if you get somebody else to lay down and die for their country. He said, a good soldier is not one that dies, it's one that makes somebody else die. If George Patton had enough sense to understand that about our military, what do you think Jesus understands? That term, lay down your life, does not necessarily mean you're going to die. Now, I think that means you're willing to defend. I think it means you're willing to fight for. Now, I think there's some things worth fighting for in this life. I really do. I'll fight for the King James Bible. As long as I got breath in my body, I'll fight for it. It is the Word of God. John did not write those words in John chapter 13. God wrote them. Those were given by God, and they were written before man was even created. Those were in heaven, settled in heaven before man was created. John didn't do anything but pen the words that Jesus told him word by word. They're not John's words. Those are God's words. And I'll go to my grave saying that, and I don't give a rip. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'll fight for my family. Sitting very close to where I sleep at night, I have a loaded 357 revolver. Say, would you use it? Come in unannounced and find out. I'm not afraid of it. You say, why? Because I'll defend my family. Somebody comes into my house to violate my home or violate my family, they're going to pay a price. That's just the way it is. I was taught you defend. By the way, I'll defend my wife. I can put up with a lot of things, but somebody unkind to my wife, you're going to watch this preacher come unscrewed. That's just the way I'm built. I'm sorry. You say, well, I think you should be more spiritual than that. I'm not. Neither are you. Somebody comes in to violate my daughter, they're going to have the fight of their life. You know, keep picking hands off of her. You say, why do you say that? Because it's true. There are some things I'll fight for. I'll fight for my friends. You doubt that? I've been defending my friends for a long time. I have stood with my friends through thick and thin, and I fight with them. Not against them, but with them, shoulder to shoulder, and sometimes walk point for them. I'm not afraid of that. I'll defend my friends. Now, you say, would you get in a fist fight if I had to? Yep. Now, I'm one of those people, I'd rather use my mouth not to stop their fist, but to keep it from swinging. But if I've got to, I'm ready to go. Brother Coral. God bless Brother Coral. He was a fighter. He's still a fighter. I was talking to him on the phone one day. He said, Brother Bush, he said, you're different than me. I said, yes, Brother Coral, in a lot of ways I'm different than you. I said, you're twice the man I am. He said, more than one way. I said, yes, sir. He said, Brother Bush, you're different. He said, you see two people fighting, you go down and break it up. He said, I see two people fighting, I jump in just to start swinging and have fun. He said, I just like to fight. I said, yeah, that's why you were the bouncer and I wasn't. I said, I don't enjoy that kind of stuff. I said, I can do it if I have to, but that's not the way I'm made. I said, I don't like to fight. I'm not one of those people that just is looking to get into a scrap with somebody. I have never been that kind of person. Now, you back me in the corner, yeah, like my dad said, he said, I don't want you starting a fight, but if you get in one, you better not just walk away. He said, you better let them know that they got into a fight. He said, you don't have to win, but you better not just roll over and play dead. So I only ever got in one fight, and I won that one. You say, why? They swung three times. My dad just about whooped me. He said, what'd you do? Waiting two more times. He said, you should have hit him after the first one. I
I said, Dad,
I was just trying to give him a chance. He said, you gave him too many chances on that one. He said, you're not real smart. Now, wait a minute. Laying down your life does not mean that you are going to die. I would lay my life down for my wife and my kids. But that doesn't mean that I should just go out there and die. That's called the martyr syndrome. Okay? I'm kind of like Brother Hiles. I'd rather go in the Guinness Book of World Record, not the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm not looking for the next ticket out. Brother Roloff, he was Fox's Book of Martyrs all the way. Brother Hiles, Guinness Book of World Records. Let's hang on as long as we can, amen? And that's the way I'm built. Now, hang on for a second. The word lay down means total submission. My dog. You say, what kind of dog do you have? A mutt. Stupid mutt at that. My dog. He's a sissy dog. Somebody broke in my house, he'd help them carry everything I own out the door. He is the most worthless piece of flesh. The only thing he is good for is for my wife and daughter to make them feel good. Say, what would you have done? Don't ask that question in public. Come see me in private. I mean, he is a sissy of a dog. I was out in the stupid thing was out the other day and it was start pouring down rain. He doesn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. And I'm standing there and he's just standing out in the rain and I'm hollering for that dog. And the more I hollered for him, the more his tail curls underneath and he's looking at me this way. Get in here! The stupid thing, my daughter finally had to come to the door and said, come on. And he looks at me and like this, you know. I thought, that's what I wanted to do. Say why? It heard the authority of my voice. Is all I've got to do is just raise the intensity level of my voice. And that dog's tail goes from ch-ch-ch to like that. I mean, that quick. We're talking sissy dog. I'm not mean to it. I like the dog. I don't want it sitting near me. I don't want it sitting on me. And it's definitely not going to jump up on the chair with me. A 30-pound dog jumping on my lap is not my idea of a casual night at home. And get you to sit on my lap. I got you because it was a gift to my wife, and I don't care what she does, but it's not getting on my lap. My boys played with that thing incessantly. I'll roughhouse him a little bit and get him growling and barking and, you know, turn him into a little bit of a man dog, he thinks. That stupid dog the other night came by and he's just sitting there looking at me. He said, what do you want, dumb dog? I petted him on the head and he's just sitting there. Then he sits down at my feet and just sat there. That's what the word lay down means. That you would be willing to be totally submissive. I thought, I'm going to try something. I stood up. He got up. I said, come on. He followed me. And that is exactly what the term lay down your life for means. When you are willing to go to another country and give your life in another country to serve God, that's laying your life down. God's not asking Brother Whitmore to go to Brazil and die in March. No, his wife might be asking that. But God doesn't want him to die. He can't use him dead. He needs him alive. He needs him obeying God. He needs him obeying the will of God. So God's not wanting him to go there to die. He's wanting him to go there and submit and do exactly what God wants him to do. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to lay down your life for God? I'm going to give you about 6 or 7 different statements here, and we'll go home. Well, we're not going to go home till we eat cupcakes, amen? But how do we lay down our life for Jesus appropriately? Number one, we should stand for Jesus lovingly. I believe that we as Christians ought to stand for the love of God. I'm so sick and tired of the Pentecostals and the healers, feelers, and squealers. Folks, listen to this. Jesus did not walk around with long flowing hair like some effeminate little rainbow coalition sodomite somewhere. He didn't wiggle when he walked. I never saw a sodomite attract tough, rough, commercial fishermen. Business people that were willing to leave their business at a moment's notice and go follow him. Rough, tough fishermen don't leave the fishing industry to follow some guy that wiggles when he walks. He was a man's man. Did you ever notice they defended his love? They defended Jesus' love. Folks, God loves this world. The world has a perverted view of what Jesus was. They have a perverted view that, well, he said he could do so many things, but what did he really do? If he loved you so much, why is the world in such bad shape? Because of your sin, stupid. He didn't sin, you are. It wasn't a matter of his love. His love paid for your sin. You're too stupid to accept it. Now, if you just lay down your life, put your life aside and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you wouldn't have to split hell wide open. Folks, so many times we don't defend the love of God. I'm going to make a statement here. We should stand for Jesus' love, but don't hate those who don't. Do you know I don't hate the Muslim people? I hate the Muslim religion, but I do not hate the Muslim people. I don't hate the atheist. I hate what they stand for. I don't even hate the Pope. Now that one's a little harder. But I don't even hate the Pope. I think he's sincere, though he's sincerely wrong. You see, I can tolerate the person that believes wrong. I just cannot tolerate the wrong. Everybody understand that? I'm going to make a statement here. That's how you love people. I know this is going to be a revelation to you. You young people, listen to this. I'm going to teach you something. Do you know that men and women are not the same? Wow. Do you know that men and women don't think anything alike? Those of you that have boys that have a sister, and those of you girls that have a brother, that's more like the marriage relationship than anything. If you can't get along as brothers and sisters, you're going to have a rough time. You say, you don't understand, you don't know my sister. Wait till you get married to one. You can't say that to the one you got married to. Men and women don't, they come from different places. They just think opposite. You know, I don't understand it. I understand we're different. That's all I got to worry about. My boys, they get hurt, rub some dirt on that thing, man. It's okay. You're going to be okay. Stick your finger in the lawnmower. When you're 18 years old, 2 weeks before you go to Bible college. Say, what did you tell him to do? I did not tell him to rub dirt on that one because there was already too much dirt in it. We had to take him to the hospital on that one. But the whole time he's saying, Dad, don't tell him what I did. I knew better than that. Don't tell him what I did. Tell him dog bit it or tell him I cut it with a knife. I said, son, you got to tell him the truth. He was so mad at himself because he knew better. Now, wait a minute. I know your kids have never done anything dumb. But guess what? They will. You just wait till those little ones turn into junior hires and their brain rolls out their ear one night while they're sleeping and they can't find it again for a while. And their head goes to a different part of their anatomy and we won't talk about where it's at. And it takes about 3 years before they find it again. You're going to think, who is this child? I taught them. They know better. I know they used to tell me exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, what happened? And just hang in there. They're all that way. It's not just yours. You're going to wonder if they even have the same last name. You're going to wonder if you're even their parent. wait a minute, you have to accept them for what they are. Do you know that not everybody loves the same way? Do you know that my daughter loves me differently than both of my boys? And both of my boys love me differently than from each other. My daughter will run up and hug me, put her head on my shoulder, and then she'll ask me for more money or something. You know, if my 22-year-old son come running up and put his arms around me and put his head on my shoulder and said, "Daddy, I love you," something's not quite right with this picture. Y'all would be worried, and I would be worried the more. Now, it's been a long time since I've seen him, and the first time I've seen him in between times to college, there's times he'd come running up and grab a hold of me and pick me up like a bottle of pop and shake me. That's a little different, but he's not going to put his head on my shoulder and say, "Daddy, I missed you." Say, what would you do if he did? We're not going to talk about that, but he wouldn't be going to college again. Unless it was in a box, laying down prone. We should defend the love of God. But can I tell you something? Be tolerant of people that don't. I know I get up and make a statement. Those churches that cancel tonight ought to be ashamed of themselves. And I have the right to say that. But you know what? I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to criticize any of our people that are not here tonight. I didn't ask anybody to risk their life. But I knew that we could be open for those that wanted to risk their lives, like me. Nobody else is dumb enough to be out on the roads, but Baptists, let's go. Amen? Number two, defend Jesus with Scripture. Don't defend him just with your attitude, but defend him with Scripture. Most of you don't know enough of that to be able to defend him. Defend him with Scripture. Defend him with truth. You know, defend his words, not your words. Boy, that's a big boy statement. So many times we say, we're standing for God, you're standing for yourself. Defend him for his words. Don't defend him for what you say. Everybody doing okay? All right. I have a statement that I wrote down here that I love. Use his sword, not yours. Why don't you use his sword to defend him, not your own? You have to read and know the word of God to be able to use it to defend him well. People in the world don't like messing with me. I even have preachers around the country, they don't like messing with me because they know I know the Bible well enough. If they start leaning out of line, I'm going to whack them in the head with it. You say, you would do that? That quick. All right, number next. Never defend Jesus in a vengeful way. I'll make a statement here. I don't think it's right for you to get in big hullabaloo arguments and go to fisticuffs over defending Jesus. Would that be the way he would do it? I don't argue. I grew up. You know, there's nobody in the world I'll argue with. I'm not a debater. I'm not going to get thrown and lured into a debate with somebody. Well, aren't you smart enough? I'm smart enough not to. I learned a long time ago, arguing with somebody is all it is verbal fighting. And it's just your pride against their pride. It's your knowledge against their knowledge. And it really does no good because the person you're debating with isn't going to change their mind and they're not going to change your mind. Why waste the time, the energy, the effort, and cause all the frustration? You know, you don't have to get back at people that disagree with you. Do you know if somebody slams a door in my face when I go so winning, I don't mark their address down and then go back at night and TP their house. I don't do things like that. I don't go back and flatten their tires. Say, what do? I go to the next door and find somebody that's willing to listen. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Jesus said, if they won't hear in one town, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town. I found out a long time ago, God's very capable of defending himself. He can get back at him far better than I can. Okay, number next. Defend Jesus wisely. Defend Jesus wisely. Now, listen to this statement. I do believe you can defend Jesus where you work. I don't believe you have to get fired to do it. Did you catch that? When I was going through Bible college, some of the best converts I had were the men I worked with in the machine shop. One of those men went on to be a deacon. And I worked with him shoulder to shoulder in the machine shop. Say, why? Because I learned how to stand for Jesus wisely. I didn't change my standards to work, but listen to this. I didn't stop working to be spiritual either. I didn't take the boss's money and the boss's time to be a preacher at work. Everybody doing okay? I think when you're getting paid by an employer, you ought to bust yourself and give him everything you've got. Now, if there's time on the job when you're working shoulder to shoulder, digging a ditch or hanging a wire or running a machine and you're shoulder to shoulder and you can talk while you're doing it, go for it. But if you have to stop working to talk, you keep working. Then ask him if you can talk to him after work. Outproduce him and then say, can we talk? Don't cheat your employer. Don't make your employer pay for your spirituality. Boy, that's a big statement. I don't think you ought to get fired to be spiritual. But I don't think you have to listen to all the nasty jokes. I don't think you have to go down to what the people are around you that you work with. You just keep on standing for right. You just keep doing it the right way. Now, I got to keep going here. Number next, defend the people who defend Jesus. Did you catch that? Defend the defenders. I'm fairly strong of a person. There are people that I don't always even agree with. But you know what? If they're still seeing people saved, I'm not going to fight them. I might not join up with them. I might not associate with them, but I'm not going to fight them. God can even use a liberal to get somebody saved. I've watched God use lost people to get people saved. So I guess God could use anybody. Why should I not defend people? But when I got soul winners out on the street, you better believe I'm going to defend them. Defend those who are more aggressive than you. The ones that are more verbal than you. You know, there are people that will holler amen. And I'm glad for it. And every once in a while, somebody will holler a little louder than somebody else. And I'll see somebody go, say, what do? I preach a little harder to get them say it even louder. Just to watch you turn your nose up. Say, why? Why don't you defend that person rather than criticize? Say, well, I don't do it that way. Okay, we didn't criticize you for not saying amen. Okay, I preached in South Carolina for 4.5 years. I had a black teen department on Sunday afternoons. I'd have 70, 80, 90 black teenagers and about a dozen and a half black mamas in there. And when you're in the deep South, and that's not a racial thing, but I'll tell you one thing. I spent most of the time preaching, standing out on the Lord's Supper, screaming and hollering like you wouldn't believe. You say, why? They pull preach out of you. I ended up going to a black church for a funeral. Took my wife with me. She was in, I said, you're going to go through culture shock. I said, you don't understand. You've not been one of the, my poor wife, she grew up in northern Minnesota and then Indiana the rest of her life and Ohio for a couple of years. She had never been in a black church in her life. And the first time she walks into a black church, she's going to a funeral. Well, there was 7 deaconesses in the front in their white uniforms with their white gloves on. And they're all swaying to the music. like this. She said, "What are we doing?" I said, "Just hang in there." Well, we were sitting right behind the family. Well, Miss Mabel's mama is the one that went to heaven, and Miss Mabel went to our church, but it was in the black church's funeral. And they're in there, and Miss Mabel wasn't crying because mama was in heaven. And one of them deaconesses walked up and said, "Mabel, how come you're not mourning?" She said, "Because mama's in heaven." And she was patting her on the cheeks, and all of a sudden she goes, whack, smack. And she says, "You need to let it out." Whack. I don't know how many times she got hit in the face. I leaned over and said, "Mabel, just cry and get it over with. You're going to be purple by the time this is over." She can't be black and blue. She's already part way there. But I said, "You'll be purple before this is over." My wife said, "What are they doing?" I said, "Just enjoy the show. This is going to get fun." Man, we got to singing. We were having a spell. Now, wait a minute. My wife is going through culture shock. Blonde hair, blue-eyed Norwegian, man. Swede, sorry, not Norwegian. She's a Swede. She was going through culture shock. You say, "I don't think they ought to have done that." Okay, but I enjoyed it. I was having fun. That old preacher got up and he was preaching away. Now, I didn't agree with all of his theology, but he was sure having fun while he did it. Say, "What did you do?" "I was hollering amen with the women." They had their white rags out going, "Glory!" I mean, they're going at it. Say, "I don't think you should have done it." "I was having fun." That lady didn't know what was going on. She was already in heaven. Had been there for a couple days. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah. Why don't you just accept the fact that if somebody's got enough guts to defend Jesus, you ought to respect them? Stand for those you disagree with if they're standing for Jesus. I got some folks that I disagree with, but they're doing what they know to stand for God, and I won't fight them. Lastly, and I'm done. Be sincere. Be sincere. You can accuse me of a lot of things, and you're probably going to be right. But I will tell you this, I am sincere. I may not do everything right. I might not pick the right time for everything. I might not always do it the right way. But it'll be out of sincerity. I may hurt you someday. Not intentionally. I might make a bad decision. But it's not because I planned on making a bad decision. I'll be sincere. Guess what? I might get a little wound up when I preach every once in a while. I might say something to offend somebody. No. But not because I'm trying to offend somebody. I'm just being sincere. My wife and I sat in this rich person's house, and she wanted us to put stained glass windows in our church building for her to come back. That way she knew God's presence would be there. Well, I've been over to England and been in some of the biggest churches, and we knew God was there because of all the stained glass. I shouldn't have said it. My wife grabbed my hand when I said it, and I said, "Ma'am, that's the only thing that they know of God's presence. They have to have stained glass because they don't have God's presence." I said, "I don't have a window because I don't need a window to have God's presence. We know he's there." They haven't been back since. Guess what? They didn't hurt our church spirit either. Say, what are you going to do if they come back? I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to change one thing. I know the carpet's nasty, not for very much longer. Coming up tomorrow, amen. We've been in here since February. But we weren't going to make fast decisions and hasty decisions till we knew we were going to be here for a while. Didn't feel like it was right to waste your money, and 6 months later, we have to spend $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 on a piece of carpet. You're not going to pull it up and take it with you. It was wise to wait to see if we were going to be here 3 or 4 or 5 years before we put new carpet down. Yep. I just felt like that was the best thing to do. You say, you should have done it faster. Okay, maybe I should have. But I made the best decision I thought we could make in the right timing. Well, I don't like. There's a lot of things I don't like. But sometimes you have to put up with what you don't like till you get what you do like. I don't like being on a diet. Hate it. I've lost 13, 14 pounds. Say, don't you like to eat? That's why I'm on a diet. I'm planning on losing a few extra so I can eat more over Christmas. The 2 pounds I gained over Thanksgiving, I just took off again, amen? Back to level ground. Well, the bubble's in the middle at least. I'm back to where I was, but I got to take a few off because I plan on gorging myself over Christmas. Say why? I just got to watch it. I don't like it. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, God wants your obedience and your sincerity. He doesn't want you to be a fake. Stand for Christ lovingly. Defend him with scripture. Don't do it in a vengeful way. Defend him wisely. Defend the defenders and be sincere. Can I tell you something? Peter, you say you're willing to lay down your life, but in hours you're criticizing and you're not doing it. Listen to this statement. You know, it only took a couple days and Peter got right. Yeah, it wasn't but a couple weeks later he was preaching Pentecost.
Amen.
He made a mistake. Guess what? He could get back up, pick up where he left off, and keep on going. Somebody makes a mistake. Guess what? We ought to pick them up and help them get moving again. I catch you criticizing somebody that makes a mistake, and I'm going to come unscrewed on you.
Yes.
Say why? I believe that everybody has the right to get back and get right with God.
That's good.
I just believe it. Well, you don't know. You don't know as much as you think you know either. And before you start talking about somebody else's sin, why don't we trot your big fat self up here and talk about all your sin? You think you're so holy. What are you doing talking about somebody's sin? Everybody doing okay? This is a hospital, not a museum. This is a place of restoration, not a place of minting. This is not for the pristine. Guess what? Everybody's a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. Well, I know somebody and they made a mistake. No. You're kidding. Can I tell you something? Let me teach you a great truth. Do you know what sinners do? They sin. Why are we so shocked when a sinner sins? Whether they're a saved sinner or a lost sinner. Why are we so devastated when somebody sins? Well, I held them up here and I found out they weren't. Welcome to life.
Yep.
We're all sinners.
Yes,
we're all sinners. Let's just defend God the right way. Amen. And let's be like Jesus. Can I tell you something? He was happy when Peter got back up.
Hey.
He said, fellas, time to get back up. Let's get going. Let's pursue. Amen. Like we said this morning. And let's go on. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you need to decide you're going to stand for him at work the right way. Maybe you just need to tell your employer you're sorry for being spiritual and not working.